This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and today we're going to be talking about episode 12 of RuPaul's Drag Race season 16. Yes, we are laughing. Amon almost dropped a cucumber. No, it's not an innuendo, but we're here and we're going to talk about this episode, giggles and fun all together. So first, dropping cucumbers left and right, it's Amon Adwin. Amon, how are you?
I am well. The cucumber is now eaten and digested.
Okay, good. That's the
update. That's really fast digestion.
It's like morphine. She's got a fast metabolism, girl.
Well, speaking of, I'll wait. But like, I have things to say about morphine. But other than that, I am excited to be back. I am enjoying the hell out of this season. It is. I think I've already said this before. I think it is fastly becoming one of my favorite of the modern era, and so I'm just super excited and grateful to be back talking some drag race with you guys.
All right. And Beth, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. I was feeling a lot like Nymphia doing the like, ooh, like earlier today when I was getting out of bed and I was stretching. I made a very similar sound, but now I'm like up and awake and I'm like, okay, I'm ready to record the podcast. So here we go.
Okay, perfect. Great attitude from the team. That's what we're here to do. We're talking about our top six going down to our top five. We had a bathroom design challenge, bathroom hunties. We had a mini challenge. There's a lot going on in this episode. And so we're going to dig into everything here. So Amon, I want to kick things back to you. I'm so curious what you have to say about morphine. I don't care what, don't wait. Let's hear it. Let's kick off the conversation by getting your thoughts.
Okay, so I had some less than savory things to say about her BBL last week, and a few people didn't take too kindly to the words that I meant that I said, and I appreciate that. I never want to come off as if I'm body shaming someone. I just felt like the BBL was like such an interesting topic because of the fact that, like, you know, she's so open about it, and it's like a huge part of like her package this season. And so I was like, you know what, like, I'm not sure that the BBL is BBLing the way that she wants it to, but I must say, this lip sync, however, shut me the hell up.
I'm not even gonna lie, Amon. I was watching this and I was like, Amon's gonna have to take back some words.
I rescind my message from last week. If this ever reaches Morphine's ears, girl. Delectable. It was so good.
Oh, can you start with the lip sync?
Yes. Yeah.
I know this is unorthodox, but
it's the headline. It's the lip sync, really, I feel like, is the headline of this episode.
Who did Dawn piss off on production for them to choose, man, this as
this could have easily been last week's lip sync between Maya and her, like, but it was, I love Meg. I love Hot Girl Meg. Like, I am quickly becoming a big fan of hers. Like, I mean, she's been around for a few years now, right? But like, I was kind of like, you know what? Like, I'm not like feeling it. But like, as of the past like couple of years, I have been like really, really into Meg. I'm gonna go see her when she comes to Philly this summer. It's gonna be a Hot Girl summer again. Ooh. And this this song in particular is just so, it's so queer, it's so fun, it's so like, it's just, you just want to, like, all those judges were dancing. All of them were like even Carson mm-hmm. was like, yes. Like, it was
my favorite was it. Carson was literally at one point jumping up and down going, body, 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 body,
body, crazy, curvy, wavy, big, titty, little waist. It's just so infectious. Yeah. And the fact that Morphine did a little bit of the choreography from the music video.
Yes.
Always gets points for me. Like, you got to know when to do it, you got to know how much, because you don't want to do a carbon copy, right? Like, you don't want to like just copy and paste, but like the way that she did it was very tasteful and very like showing homage and like knowing what the source material of this shit is. And just, I will say this about Dawn, I don't think that Dawn, because a lot of people were like, oh, she was murdered, she was slain, it was like, it was no contest. Was she murdered? Sort of,
yeah.
But she put up a fight. Like, it wasn't like, it wasn't horrible. It wasn't like a complete blowout. Like, Dawn did what Dawn does. And there were moments where I was like, okay, all right, I feel it.
I did not have moments like that. I had moments where I was like, ooh, okay. Ooh, all right. No. Ooh.
I liked the walk back during the last chorus, and then she turns around and slams to her knees. I thought that was a nice little something.
Great.
But
she was very limited with the outfit she was wearing too.
It very limited. And like, mm-hmm. I wonder, like, okay, I think we've had this conversation before, because in All Stars, they are allowed to change out of their costumes. But then again, it's for a lip sync for your legacy and not for your life. And so,
and they
like,
already know who's lip syncing.
Right. And so like, at this point, I'm like, well, damn, like, it sucks that like, there's just like nothing that you can do to... There's nothing you can do, because I feel like had she not had that outfit on, maybe we would have seen a little bit more, but there was just mm-hmm. there was just no way. So I feel bad. I like Dawn. I've enjoyed Dawn this entire season. I loved how shady she was in the DR. I love that she gave it to Plain Jane real quick last week. It was just she had a great run on the show. But yeah, that was, I think even she knew once they said what the lip sync song was gonna be, that it was gonna be over. Like
I think the other thing too, well, I have two thoughts. So one about the changing outfits, I think that's why we see so many queens referencing that if I had to lip sync, I was mother effing ready to do so, because they're like, I almost have to build this in to some of the outfits to be prepared on the off chance.
Sure,
that it's a song. Yeah, it's a song like this and I'm in a gown. Like, that's, you know, not necessarily going to fly. So we see queens like actively prepare knowing that this is the case. And then the other thing that I think made for such a strong contrast between the two of them in the lip sync is the colors they were wearing. Think about it. Morphine is in this bright ass sparkly gold, literally painted gold sparkles from head to toe. And then you have Dawn in mostly black. And I think that even just that visual contrast between the two, your eyes keep going to Morphine even more so than they would, you know, without the color difference. Mm-hmm. So I think that also helped to solidify the potential murder. Okay, I'm not calling it a crime scene per se, but it was pretty brutal. Beth is like, no,
there was a struggle. There was a struggle on the crime scene. Okay, like Dawn got like one little scratch in. Maybe
I was just gonna say. I mean, you're checking under Dawn's fingernails for the DNA, but other than that, you're not really seeing too much sign of a struggle. And it's not because she gave up; it's just because she was so limited that she couldn't. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, she didn't have the weapons necessary.
Yeah.
forensic analysis.
And I want to say, like, I don't think that Dawn's a horrible performer by any means. This was just so not a song that I feel like Dawn would do anyway. And it's, I don't know, it reminds me a lot of like when Monet and Dusty did Pound the Alarm, and like but like Dusty at least is a little bit of an oddball, so like in the sense that like her faking like a weird seizure dance was like both entertaining and also cringe. And like, I feel like, I don't know, there were times where I could like really just see Dawn being like, and I'm doing the best that I can with my face, because there's nothing else I can do. And I just felt bad, because again, like, this was not, I mean, what do you do in that situation? I'm sure that this gown cost her a lot of money, so is she going to rip it in any way so that she can potentially stay another week? Or is the writing on the wall? Is she going to pull it up so that she can perform? But then maybe it's weird because we can see like what's going on with like her stockings and all that stuff. Like, it's just, yeah, I just felt bad for her because I was like, as soon as they showed the title of the song, I literally went,
oh. Oh, no. Yeah. So, I mean, this is like, this is the look, right? So again, shout out to @drag.looks. I just like, I guess maybe she could have like maybe ripped it like at the crotchular region, because unless this is maybe a separate piece, the skirt piece, and then this is a bodysuit up top. Yeah. So maybe there's an option for that. But even then, I mean...
Yeah, the other thing is she needed to remove that headpiece from the get-go because we couldn't see her face that well. And instead, she waited till the very end. And that was such a misstep. That was something she had complete control over. And it was that was wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. When Michelle at the end of the lip sync like goes, she ate that. She ate that. That was like, and then the fastest I've made my decision. Like, oh no.
It was so funny.
It's so sad. I mean, Dawn is someone who I was super excited for preseason, picked her for my draft team. Like, she's been safe consistently throughout. However, now that we're getting to the final stages, like, I almost do feel like this is the place for her to go because, okay, let's be honest. Unless it's a Sasha Velour moment, right? Like she's probably not going to win. And the fact that Rue and the judges haven't connected with her enough to give her a win shows me that they're not 100% feeling her as much as they're feeling the other contestants. So unfortunately, for the good of the entertainment level of the show, I just feel like this probably was an okay spot for her to leave, even though it does sadden me and I am a big fan of Dawn.
And she knew it too. Yeah, she knew it. I mean, she talked about it a little bit during the episodes. Like, I need this win. I need to win now because if I can get this win and then go into the next week on a high, then I can get to the final four. But it just, she couldn't make it happen.
Yeah.
And it sucks because, like, to be so close, to be so close to it and to know that you're like at least better than at least 10 of the other queens, but you could not get to that last part. I know really stings. Yeah. So I feel for her. And she definitely,
I think she's gonna kill All Stars something.
Exactly. She should be top of the list for All Stars, no doubt.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think that her final words also in Untucked were really sweet. Or no, maybe it was an actual episode. I don't remember. It all blends together. But it was when she was talking about like these aren't even sad tears. Like, I came in not knowing if I would be a superstar or like be a star, and now I feel good about my, like, I don't know, it's really heartwarming and really sweet. It just made me like her that much more. So yeah, she'll be back, I am sure.
For sure. I think even like when she's on the stage thanking RuPaul and Michelle and the judges and in production, first of all, I think that she really said that to production, not just to RuPaul, which is like, that's new. And I think that's should be applauded because she's like, thank you for taking good care of us, like that kind of thing. I mean, that's super nice, that's humbling. But what I think we see it so often that when a queen finds out that they're going home, you see the moment of it breaking, and for her it almost just felt like a release. Like, all of a sudden we saw like, yeah, of course she's upset and devastated, but there was also like, you could see the release of like, oh, it's over. Like, there was like a moment where I actually saw her shoulders kind of relax a little bit. And I think that, you know, a lot of us, because it's competition and it's and that kind of thing, we're all of us enjoy competition on some level if we're watching the show, right? I think there's something to be said about those that go on to Drag Race and have the experience, elevate their platform, but also understanding that they are going to have to deal with the fact that most of them are going to lose. Sorry, and pull out of Jeff Probst from the marooning of this season of Survivor. But you have to have a level of understanding that at some point the journey is probably going to end for you early. And if it doesn't, great. But there's a certain level of release I saw with her that I thought was healthy that I don't know, I just really appreciate. And I think that speaks a lot to her preparation and her maturity and humbleness as well.
Yeah,
I mean, that's been promoted by the show itself. Losing is the new winning, right? This is just the beginning. This is the start of the platform that can allow you to grow. So hopefully she'll be able to take advantage of that.
For sure. A new dawn, bitch.
Yes.
I like what they said in the episode. They were like, oh my God, you look like a drag king. And she was, and they were like, what's your name? And she's like, Dusk. Dawn and Dusk to me was so funny.
Okay, let's get into the maxi challenge. We're now going backwards in time. And we're, okay, so the queens were tasked with starring in the hot new design show Bathroom Hunties, where essentially they were working in pairs to build a model like power room or powder room. So it was specifically for the German couple of Michelle and Carson, which, by the way, Carson was so funny. He was maybe my favorite part of the whole challenge.
Carson was hysterical.
He was great. But anyway, so it was supposed to be filled with unexpected features and amenities. Of course, 100% gender inclusive. I believe the tagline was, it needs to be a good place to go and a fun place to stay. So the queens are put in teams that were assigned. So Plain and Saphira, Nymphia and Dawn, and Q and Morphine were assigned to be together. Amon, what were your overall thoughts about this challenge?
I love the room design challenges. They're always fun. I'm a big fan of The Sims, and one thing that I would spend hours and hours as a kid doing was building houses. So I'm always like, yes, bitch, I get my architecture brain just like goes in. And so I love that kind of shit. I thought that the pairings were very interesting because, especially since RuPaul was the one that chose, which I feel like isn't normally what happens. I feel like the girls that like win the mini challenge should be the ones that are choosing what the pairings should be. And so I felt that it was very interesting that he went ahead and put two heavy hitters in Saphira and Plain Jane together. It almost felt like he was trying to force a win for them, which, you know, they ended up being the best, and it was very cohesive, and it was the most choppy of the rest of them. So yeah. I think they definitely deserve the win, but I was very surprised by some of these pairings. I thought it would have been a little bit more interesting if we had like a little bit more of a balancing, like maybe you put Saphira with Dawn and then you put Plain Jane with not Q again, who's the other one that's still there?
Morphine. Just continuing to come for Morphine. What did Morphine do to you, Amon?
Yeah.
For BBL, calling her the other one that's left.
And then there's Nymphia and Q.
And then you put Nymphia with Q. I think that would have been much more interesting. Morphine, I love you. I'm sorry.
So rude.
I'm done talking now.
Okay.
Nobody make a fan cam of all the times that Amon has come for Morphine. I thought the tagline should have been, what was it? Like a place to go.
Oh yeah. It was supposed to be a good place to go, a fun place to stay.
You know, the way that he said that, I thought he was going to say a fun place to, what was it? Fun place to go.
A good place to go, and
a fun place to hoe is what I thought he was going to say, because it's RuPaul. And then when they said stay, I was so disappointed. I was like, what?
Yeah. I don't know if that was then. It was supposed to be like, it was okay. It felt like you're supposed to almost create a nightclub within the nightclub. Okay. Right. So you're creating like a bathroom space within the nightclub that you almost want to spend more time in the bathroom than you do in the actual club. That was my interpretation.
And as I've heard from plenty of the women in my life, the women's bathroom in nightclubs and things of the like is...
It's lit.
You meet
it is lit.
Girls.
Okay.
There.
Yes. But here's the thing. It's lit for two
reasons.
I want
to go.
Most of the time. Come on. Most of the time, it's lit because of the women inside. Not necessarily. It doesn't look amazing. But it's like, it's so true. Like, you see those videos where there'll be like someone be like, in a bathroom stall, she'd be like, should I text him? And then the entire everyone's like, no, don't do it, girl. Like, blah, blah, blah. That shit happens. You walk in, there's somebody who's like, oh, this pimple on my face. And like all these strangers are like, no, babe, you're beautiful. Don't even look at that. No one's looking at that. And it's like such a pep room vibe. It's great. But yeah, it's so funny. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm when it comes to these challenges, I'm probably the one who doesn't care as much about the like the room makeover stuff. I like the forced scenes where we're supposed to pretend like they really did paint their room completely. Those are always fun for me.
Oh my god. But Q and Morphine's though, that when we saw, okay, so we saw their wall, right? When they're like painting it and you saw Morphine's flames, and then you see the actual product, you're like, bitch, y'all did not paint that.
Oh, it was like my favorite was when they did the Monet, the Mohart in the Monet painting. But I see people go side to side. What's up and down? Who said so? Jesus? Like that kind of stuff is like that lives rent-free in my mind. Mm-hmm. And it's so clear when you see the finished product that they were like, okay, so then the set people came in and did it, but yeah, based off of what they probably designed, but but I don't know, like it's so funny to me because it's presented as if it is a design challenge that's not on your body, but it's an improv challenge really at the end of the day. And I think that that's where the disconnect happens sometimes with editing, but also with the contestants. Like when you look at like Nymphia and Dawn's, like they very much thought of it, especially Nymphia thought of it as a design challenge and not so much the improv thing. And clearly Dawn had been trying to plan certain things, but Nymphia was like not the partner for it. And I think that that is like if they tightened that up a little bit, either with the edit or with what how they present it, the challenge to the girls, I think it would just be that much stronger of an end product for us to enjoy.
Yeah, I think that that's what the other, because whenever I think of the challenge, I think of Club 96 that Valentina and Naomi did. And I think of that, that to me is almost like, okay, these are people who get it. Like, yes, they have the design, but they were clearly like going for the shtick. Like there was the, I don't know. Yeah, the presenting really was the main aspect, it felt like, for them for that challenge. And I felt like there were just a lot of things that were like weirdly inconsistent throughout almost everybody's presentation. Like there were things that just didn't seem cohesive or like were kind of all over the place that just didn't feel like, okay, what's the point here? Like what are we doing here? Right. So I think that overall it was just a little bit confusing. And I don't know if that's like the brief to blame, the queen's interpretation of the brief, like something here was causing a little bit of a mismatch. So like, for example, if you talk about Q's and Morphine's, theirs didn't seem like a fun place to hang out except for like tickling the pit crew member. But then, but then they were like getting praise for the mirror. And I was like, okay, so wait, it is a design challenge. I don't know. Like, it was like very confusing.
For me, I sort of interpreted because we know damn well these bitches didn't make that shit up. They didn't paint that shit. We know that. So for me, it's more so I agree with Beth in that like it is improv. It's like how you sell. That's like the top portion. And then as far as the design goes, it's more so about like the ideas that you bring to the table. Cause I'm sure that they speak with the people that are making it, the production assistants, whoever, and give them the vision. And like, you know, I'm sure that they're still involved with that process. They're just not hands-on with it. So I think it's just, okay, the ideas that are in your mind, the thoughts that you have, the concepts that you're coming up with, how well can you communicate that to us? You know what I mean? So it's a communication challenge. It's an improv challenge. It's a comedy challenge. It's an acting challenge. It's a vibe check. It's a vibe check challenge, essentially. And so I think knowing that, I'm like, okay, so which ones did I sort of like feel the most? Like which idea and concept felt the most cohesive to me? And that's sort of like where I'm trying to like go with it. But I do like that they at least try to give us like a little bit of a facade of them coming in first and trying to design something, because I feel like every single one of those themes that we get from all these challenges has been funny. So I'm here for it. So
yeah, they're by far the highlight. It's like that is better than the actual like challenge, like performance itself.
It's like, it's like forced workroom time with all of them, but like it's always really funny. And then also in this episode, you know, you had the shenanigans with Plane coming over and like painting the wall red, and then them just all going at each other, painting green, painting red. So that was like, that was very fun. That was very cute. And then obviously the design people came in and cleaned that up later.
But anyway, it's so funny if there was just like one red streak in like the fart left. And it was just like
Okay, let's go through all of the pairs and talk about our thoughts on them. So, Beth, what did you think about Q and Morphine? Theirs was the sort of like, I guess, hell theme. They didn't really stick with the heaven part with their catchphrase. I guess it seemed to be their catchphrase because they said it multiple times, but the "we are in hell."
Yeah.
Whatever.
I thought the concept was like the way that they executed it was actually better than what I thought it was going to be, like how everything was just annoying enough that it would be like, you know, the toilet paper out of reach. And there's like actually no toilet paper on this roll at all. Like little things like that made sense that I thought were really fun and smart. Morphine was just, yeah. And that was it. So definitely deserved to be in the bottom because I didn't feel like she did anything. But I'm going to go out there and say I found Q just like really cringy the entire time too. I didn't think that she did a great job acting or do it. It was just a lot of, I'm going to come up with this right here on the spot. And I was like, I can't watch this. And I really felt like they should have done bottoms by pairs this week. Mm-hmm. And they should have been the two that lip synced. But that said, I mean, we'll get to Dawn, but like I felt like the challenge got progressively better with each one, mm-hmm. and they were clearly for me the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, visually, I liked what they were going for. I liked the Michelle Visage portrait. I liked the cracked mirror. I liked their names, Lucy the Third and Lucy the Third Er, was funny. Of course, having that pit crew member, whoever one is thirsting over, because the bulge was bulging. I don't know what was going on with him that day.
That was a sock.
But There was something going on down there. But I do think that there wasn't like a lot of chemistry between the two of them. I don't mm-hmm. know if like Q is like, it was so much better with Plain last week. Now I have to like drag this bitch with me. I don't know what was going on, but it just felt like it just didn't feel as cohesive between mm-hmm. the two of them this time around. So I definitely like, after that was all like all said and done, I was like, all right, fine, I guess. But yeah.
I think that was a fair takeaway because that was kind of mine as well, mixed with maybe some more confusion because I think, again, for me, I was anticipating, like, this is a place you want to be. So I was like, why would you make it hell where it's annoying? Like, that didn't make any sense to me because actually I thought of the features that were actually in the room, they probably had three of my favorites. I loved the mirror. I thought that was gorgeous. I loved the hands coming through the wall to grab
and then
the
dropping
code.
The shit. Yeah.
Yeah. That was fun. Not the dropping part. Cause again, that was why I didn't understand. I was like, you want to be there. Why would you want? But that was just like a cool thing to like, if you imagine you were in a club bathroom and like, I mean, animatronic, whatever, like mm-hmm. hand held your coat. Like, that's so cool. I don't know. I was just,
what's
so totally
that from? Is that like Willy Wonka or something where the
yeah,
comes through and grabs the.
That sounds, yeah. Right. It like sounds familiar. It's
oh,
from something.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think it is in Willy Wonka.
Where they go to his office at the end where he's like, you
and
lose.
He puts up,
yep. Yes. And he grabs the hat right off of his head. Yeah. Okay.
You
all right. Good. Okay.
Nothing. You get nothing. Yes.
Okay. So I loved that. And I think that if I were in a bathroom in a club and there was a man tied to the wall that I could tickle, I would never leave the bathroom. Okay. I'm just saying. So that for me was like the best feature of all the features. So I loved all of that. So those are like the design elements that were my favorite. However, I hated that it was like annoying because again, my interpretation was like, you want to be there. But then the presentation was just not good all in all. Morphine, especially the moment where Morphine was just like, I don't know. Like, you.
Where she literally
you
went,
it.
Why don't you talk about it?
I was like, oh no, no. That's like a kiss of death. So that just, that was like really devastating. And also, yeah, go ahead, Beth.
No. I was just going to say that I completely agree with you. And I think the only thing they could have done to make it like, is to be like, you know, a masochist dream place or whatever, and try to make it like you want to stay here if you're the type of person who enjoys being in con- inconvenienced or pained for
slightly inconvenienced.
Well, I mean, also the spikes on the toilet would be more than a minor inconvenience. But like, you just if squat. You're the type of person who like gets off on being inconvenienced or in pain, or like sure. if they had made it like a BDSM like. Mm-hmm.
Like yeah, okay, place lean or whatever, into that more.
That
yeah,
would have yeah. made it so much better, but they just didn't mm-hmm. go that far.
Okay, yeah, I like that. I think that would have, yeah, it's almost like they didn't go far enough into that right. concept. Yeah. Okay, I could see that. So, all right, so if they had done that, I think that would have been an improvement. I still think, though, the presenting no, it was a horrible. Big improvement. And I also, especially when Plain and Safira got one together as a pair, I thought, oh my God, is Q going to go? Because I was like, Q against Morphine? I was like, Q the robot is gonna struggle against Morphine.
I actually wish I could have seen Q try to perform.
So Megan can tell you.
Yada 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 yada.
Yeah, talk about Dusty Ray Bottoms doing the whole like spasm thing. Like that would have been Q in that moment, maybe. Like a robot malfunctioning. Oh God.
That would have been a massacre.
Yeah. I think overall my favorite part of this was Carson again. So I'm just gonna continue to compliment Carson.
Carson was so funny, and I you know what? We need more of him acting like a German partner to Michelle Visage. I want Dee Dee and Dada to come back.
Yeah, they definitely need to come back.
A whole bunch more times.
Okay. Nymphia and Dawn. Let's talk about the fart museum. Who has strong feelings about this? Amon, well, art what do you think?
Museum.
Yeah.
I don't know about it. It's like I get it, but I don't get it. It's like supposed to be artsy fartsy, literally. Mm-hmm. I love all the shade that this season keeps giving to the eliminated queens. You had freaking Plain Jane, or not Plain Jane, Amanda show up in one of the portraits. You had Plasma show up in one of the portraits. Like, they just don't care. They are just shitting the hell out of their sisters. So I love that. I thought my eyes gravitated towards Nymphia the entire time, and part of that is because she had, like, cloud balloon boobs. Like, I'm still not sure what the hell those things were. But they definitely weren't as bad as Q and Morphine, but I didn't quite understand what was going on. And I felt like the highlight of it again was Bruno and the painting of his body. Like that was like that was the part that like made me like, oh. And that is like pandering to my reptilian brain. So it's not even that. Yeah. That's, I don't know. I'm just like,
I know. That was my second favorite design element. It was the tickling and then the getting to paint a pick, remember? Like, those are the two things I like the most.
I mean, I kind of liked the bumper toilets. That was kind of fun, you know?
Oh, yeah. That was kind of cute.
I'm sorry. That's where Carson stole the show, when he, like, jammed his toilet up to Michelle's. And he's like, we've never been this close before. It was so freaking funny to me. Yeah. I thought that the concept of this was really smart. Mm-hmm. The execution didn't live up to it. And a lot of that had to do with the performance. I didn't think Nymphia did a great job, but she certainly sucked all the air out of the room. And having been the person who's been Nymphia many times in my life, where I just can't stop talking and, you know, that kind of thing, like I get it, like I see you, Nymphia, but also like, ooh, girl, let somebody else speak, stop repeating the same thing, kind of go from there. I thought they look like marble balloons, like you said, Amon, that like that was so funny, and given the concept of what they were going for, it fit. Otherwise I was like, what? I don't know. I wanted
more farting.
I agree. I wanted things to be more flatulent or like gassish or something like that. Flatulence, you blow everything. Okay. There's a reason why I'm not on the show.
Good concept, Beth. We love it. No, I mean, I think again, okay, so what were the design elements of their room? So they had finger painting Bruno. Okay, one. They had the floor to ceiling mirrors, mm-hmm. which that was kind of funny with the, like, you can see her hole. And then, yeah, it was the toy, like the moving toilets. I think there were more things in the room. We just didn't really get to see them, or they weren't funny or something. Because it felt like those
faucets
were connected. Oh, the faucet. To the coins. That was good.
That was great.
That one I liked. That was really great.
Yeah.
But it didn't work the way, like, they just had steam come out, right? It didn't look like water actually came out of the faucet.
Well, yeah, but it's not. I mean, I don't think that that's hooked up. Yeah, it's just a drywall.
I know, so. But like,
imagine if it was. Plumbing. Oh my God.
It would have been, but I mean, like, it would have been great if they just had, like, someone who was, like, through a little hole, hose or something, like, on the other side. It's like, oh no, you rub this. I don't know.
Yeah. I think the issue is theirs was in the middle, right? So that's why, the wall that the hands went through in Q's, that one, because they were, like, on the far side, so they were in the middle. So I think, like, yeah, they maybe could have gotten something fancy hooked up, but if they
weren't. Yeah. I mean, I hear you. I hear you. That's.
Yeah. But. Yeah. Okay, so that was maybe that was also very
that
good,
was
that kind of faucet. But I was, I was expecting a lot more art puns, because I was like, well, it's the fart museum, so they're going to have a lot of, like, art puns. And then I completely agree with what Rue said 100% in the judging. That was like, it was like watching two people try to figure it out as they're giving their talking heads. It was really, really awkward.
Yeah.
This is, again, I'm going to put the blame on Nymphia for this. Like, Nymphia had every opportunity to work with Dawn, and, like, just I don't know what it was. It came across like a huge resistance to, like, do anything with Dawn. Again, we are seeing minutes of hours of work or whatever that we're seeing there. But, like, every time it was like Dawn would suggest something, Nymphia would be like, no, and, like, do something else. And when it came to trying to plan what they were going to say, Nymphia was just like, I think we should just go out there. And I think it's smart on one hand, because I think Nymphia knew that she could just, like, rely on her own laurels, but she very well could have been in the bottom. And I think that this should be a wake-up call, because I would say that Nymphia is also kind of following the Dawn thing, right? I don't feel like she's been that strong the past few weeks, and I don't know if it's just fatigue of competition or what, but I don't know. Like, this was a prime example where I feel like you could see Dawn the entire challenge be like,
oh my God,
and try to say something and, like, know where to start. But then Nymphia would just keep going on and then you would think she was done, but she would keep going. And that could have been a fun bit, because how many times have you been in museums where, like, a tour guide or somebody that you're with can just, like, yap on and on and on and on about something, and then you go to, like, ask a question. Like,
you,
that could have been a part of it.
Oh, no. Some trauma.
But I mean, like, if that had been the bit, it would have been so funny.
Real quick side story.
I gotta hear it.
It's a little sensitive. I went to the African American History Museum in Detroit maybe about 5 years ago. And it was very, you know, the museum itself, very beautiful, obviously covers a lot of painful history of the United States. So I don't want to make light of that. Mm-hmm. But when I tell you that the tour guide thought that she was Meryl Streep and it took me out of it, I'm not going to repeat some of the things that were said, because, again, it's very sensitive subject matter. And I don't want people to think that I'm, like, you know, trying to make fun of it. But when I tell you that I laughed, and it is hard. For you to want to laugh about something like that, right? But when I tell you that this tour guide thought that she was, it was crazy. It was crazy. I was like, what is going on? I should not be laughing at this. But anyway.
Oh my God.
I get it. I get it. And I definitely feel like Nymphia was kind of on that energy, because.
Agreed. I wish that they had set it up like maybe Dawn was like the realtor showing them the room, but that Nymphia is like the tour guide that comes with the bathroom for like this museum. Like, if they had done something like that, even if Dawn was like, okay, this is how Nymphia is doing it, I'm going to play it up this way. I do think that there's always ways for you to save yourself in an acting challenge. You got to be creative. But that said, I mean, it's hard. I would have just cut Nymphia right off and be like, oh, right, that's wonderful. And then in the next exhibit, you know, like those are things that are
but it's even hard to do too, because like then you cut them off and then it comes across as like, yes. Oh, this is, they're not gelling. They're not working together well. Like, it's they're fighting each other. So it's just like, Dawn was kind of, yeah, it was bad. But I mean, on the same hand though, like, props to Nymphia a little bit, because like, I mean, it is a competition, and if you kind of have to like edge this girl out, then do what you gotta do. I mean, that's kind of what she did last week as well with the seminar. She kind of tried to snatch a moment, and so, you know, if you gotta snatch a moment, then snatch a moment. Is it fun to see in terms of like what Dawn is going through? No, but did it keep her here? It did, and I don't know.
Didn't they also, production assigned the groups last week too, right?
Yes, I believe so. Yes.
This is weird. I don't like it.
It is a little weird.
I don't like production choosing groups.
Yeah.
It just feels very like, I mean, this is one of the most overproduced shows already, but like, it just feels off. Now, I'm going to say that this week, I think we all kind of say that we got Saphira and Plain, and then like Nymphia Q, and then like Morphine Dawn in terms of wins and all that kind of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think that there's a clear bottom three. I think there's a clear like favorable four going to Final Four at this point. So I don't think that there's necessarily anything they really could have done to screw anybody over, right? Like, I don't think any of them are horrible competitors. That said, let them.
Do you think Morphine knows she's next?
Oh, she has to.
Okay, but hear me out. Who's going to beat her at a lip sync? Saphira, okay, I think could do it.
Maybe, yeah.
Nymphia,
maybe, if they're willing to put her in the bottom two. Well, either of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be Plain or Q versus Morphine next week in the lip sync. That's my prediction, okay?
And we all know that Q's going to lose.
If Q, like, we could 100% see Q be that final five finisher because she ends up against Morphine in a lip sync. And also, look, the preview from next week is given Q with that white ass circle on her face and everyone being like, girl. So either she's going to knock it out of the park and it's going to be amazing, which it is a makeover design challenge, so definitely a possibility, or it falls flat on her face. She's going to end up against Morphine and could end up going home.
I can see that.
There's a not a
makeover challenge because Morphine's face beats down. So
that's also a possibility.
And she knows her aesthetic. Yes. But Q also is a seamstress and could create something. So
I have no idea how it's going to go.
And I think Plain thinks enough out of the box that she could create something that RuPaul will find as a funny concept for two people. So I'm not as concerned about her. This is where I wish Dawn was here for this next week, because I would have loved to have seen Dawn do a makeover challenge. That would have been pretty easy. Yeah. But I don't know. I'm interested to see, like, can Saphira pull this off? I think she could. I don't think there's much that Saphira can't do.
Yeah.
But I don't know. This could be fun. I think Nymphia, I don't know. This is going to be interesting. I wish that Nymphia and Q had been in a pair this time. The two people who just talk over people and just seen it. Do they work well together, or is it a train wreck? Because I would have loved to watch that train wreck.
I was going to say, I think it would have been a train wreck.
It would have been so funny. And then, if it was, oh my God, could you imagine if it had been Morphine and Dawn, and then Q and Nymphia, and then you could keep Saphira in Plain. But I just think it's so funny, the idea. Oh God.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Saphira and Plain, let's talk about their design. So they go with the speakeasy concept. And I think that this was also interesting because we got to learn a lot about Plain throughout this experience. We get her whole sort of almost imposter syndrome, the delusion falling for a moment in the workroom. And I think Saphira does an absolutely amazing job. Another reason why I think she'll be Miss Congeniality, she's mother. Like, she's like, look, here's the exercise we're going to do. You're going to write down all those things. You're going to say it out. No, you're going to say it out loud. And then you're going to tear it apart, throw it over your shoulder, and it's done. I loved that whole just sequence. It was nice to see some vulnerability from Plane. It was nice to see Safira mother, see their partnership, Amon. I really loved that.
I loved it too. It's I love that we got to sort of like see like that struggle with it too, because like at first, like it felt like Plane was a little reluctant to do it in the first place. And then when she finally did do it, then she tried to crumple it up and she was mm-hmm. like, No. Read that shit, rip that shit, throw that shit. So I loved it. I thought it was great. And like honestly, like if Safira wins, I think what's gonna happen is we're gonna go back. We're gonna see a pendulum shift, because that would have been two motherly winners in a row, mm-hmm. right? You got Sasha and you got Safira. I think what's gonna happen is we're gonna go back to the age of Aquaria, where it's the younger upstart type of fashion queen, Instagram follower bitch next season. I just feel that in my mind, because I'm like, it's already a foregone conclusion to me that Safira is going to win. So I'm just, I mean, I'm not mad about it. That's just like what I'm predicting.
You know, right, yeah. Like if Lux Noir London won, right, instead mm-hmm. of Sasha, right? Like that kind of like young hot bitch energy.
mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Exactly. Or like Nymphia would probably be the person for this season. You know what I mean? She's not Aquaria, but she's the young fashion mm-hmm. queen who also...
Fashion bitch. Yeah. Special point of view.
So I'm trying to see if I can find this, because there was a really... oh, come on. No, it was Plasma who retweeted it, I think. Yes. So somebody put together this whole thing about saying, okay. At Mush Coom, QOOM on Twitter, put together a whole thread that said why Drag Race 16 is a perfect thematic parallel to season 6. And they're like, Safira Cristal's Bianca Del Rio, extremely professional and perfect, makes Rue laugh and has great runways, has almost no weak spots, additionally helps other queens at least at one point. Nymphia Wind is adored Alano, loved by fans, specifically the younger ones, wins a ball and is seen as the future of drag. Courtney Act is Plain Jane, very perfect and precise, good at Drag Race, is seen as shady in confessionals and sometimes villainous. Darian Lake is Megami, the big girl of the season, seen as sometimes shady, also has an unappreciated drag style. Dayla is Plasma, theater comedy queen from a famous drag city, has somewhat of an older style, eliminated with an impressive track record. Trinity is Maya. This is like amazing lip syncer, has a storyline about coming out of their shell. Also accepts help from Bianca/Safira in a challenge. Jocelyn is Mirage, goofy and fun, a fierce lip syncer, loved by fans. Lagantra is Q, overconfident. Milk Swan, alternative drag style that Michelle sometimes nitpicks, loved more by fans than by the judges. Gia Gunn is Tsunami, fierce and funny, sometimes shady girls who get sent home by their friend. I don't know if I agree with that one, but April Carrion, the Latina goddess who gives us amazing lip syncs, lands in the bottom often while they're there. Vivacious is Geneva, great entrances that fizzle out into a bottom streak. Magnolia is Amanda. They just kind of look like mother and daughter here.
I mean, where's the lie, though?
And then Kelly is Hershey. First outs who deserved way more than they were getting treated on the show went home in a design challenge. So I was like, interesting. You know what? Safira is Bianca, that she's going to win. And I don't
think
that. But I had to share that because I thought it was like so funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that is probably the most apropos comparison because, again, like Safira does sometimes come off as, I mean, she's obviously very kind, very sweet, loving. Met her by surprise one time and she was lovely, nothing but lovely. But I do feel like there's like this general sense of like, girl, I'm going to win. Like, you just, and it's the same thing with Bianca and a little bit with Bobby Drag Queen too. It just feels very just like, we know, you know. How do we feel about Q being so upset with the fact that she lost? And
that was very interesting. So I love the fact that So we get this in sort of like multiple moments. So one, obviously after the elimination, when Safira is like, Q's looking at me like I just killed her dog, like something to that effect. And then of course Q thinks that either her or both her and Plane or Plane should have won the challenge. But then the next day, I believe calls, Q said her win wasn't deserved, that it was an undeserved win. And that seems to really be the trigger point here, Amon, when it comes to their conflict. And Safira ends up bringing this specific point up later.
I thought it was interesting because that word deserved was like the contention. And when they were in the workroom talking about it and hashing it out, Q did at least concede a little bit, but not all the way. She was like, maybe I should have used a different word, but at the same time, I said what I said. Like, so it's like, so she, obviously, she knows that like it was maybe like very invalidating what she said, but at the same time, she's like, it was invalidating because I was valid.
One of my biggest pet peeves, I can't stand it when people go, I wasn't being invalidating. Shut up. You don't get to decide if you were being validating or invalidating. Like, that's literally okay. For anybody who doesn't know, communication is receiver oriented. It does not matter what you meant. It only matters how it's received. Okay. Which is why we try to adjust our communication based on who we're talking to so that they can get the best possible messages. Okay. Rhetoric and communication rant over. But with that said, I hate when people say, oh, I didn't make you feel comfortable, or I didn't make you feel uncomfortable. I mean, I didn't make you blah, blah. You don't get to tell people what you made them feel. And I hate it when people try to get out of arguments by being like, I wasn't being invalidating, but I understand why you feel that way. You're just throwing fire onto this like gaslit fire here.
I know that it's frustrating. Like, I don't know what it's like to be on Drag Race. I don't know what it's like to like be in that pressure cooker, but I think that I can imagine and I can sympathize with the fact of feeling, we see it time and time and time again, queens that do pretty good in a challenge where they could have won, and someone else that seemingly did worse, or at least that's what the edit would like for us to believe, edges them out. And so then you feel like, what the hell? Like, what am I doing here? Like, what doesn't feel good? Like, I feel like I'm being made fun of. I feel like I'm not being appreciated. I feel like the producers are doing this on purpose. Like, I feel like this is supposed to be a gag worthy moment. This is my Jan moment. Like, so I understand that. But even through all of that mess, even through all of that inner workings that you have to deal with yourself, it's not Safira's fault. Like, she didn't do it.
Right. Yes, exactly.
She didn't do it. Like, what do you want her to do? You want her to be like, no, sorry, I think that you should give this win to, come on.
That's what makes me so mad for years now, when people would be like, I don't like Trixie because Shangela should have won. And it's like, Trixie was one of the two people who said that Shangela should have gotten to the final two. She said it when she was sitting, like, this was so not even in Trixie's, like, she didn't get to choose that she was the winner or anything like that. I hate it when people take things that are either production or other queens, like voting or whatever, and blame it on the person who gets the benefit for it. It's so stupid. And it's not like Safira did poorly. She tripped over words once last week and that was it. Like, come on. I don't know.
Yeah. It felt like Safira, you know, obviously Safira's goal was to have a conversation and sort of like figure it out. But it didn't really necessarily feel resolved, at least in my opinion. I'm hoping that Safira felt better, but it didn't really feel like, okay, we've hashed it out. Like, let's hug and make up. It was still just like, well, that's your opinion kind of ending to the situation. And so a little bit.
Whereas Amon went for Morphine's BBL last week, I'm going to be coming for Q's attitude this week. I got to tell y'all, I so appreciate Q's drag. I love especially their ability to construct and design and all this. Like, it's incredible. I'm telling you right now, I don't know why I can't root for her. And I think it literally comes down to this, like, I deserve everything kind of mentality. Like, she comes across as entitled to things. And it really bothers me. And it's not like Plane has bothered me sometimes with some of her comments, but then she backs it up a little bit and then Q will back it up. But then it's like she's the pendulum. Like if she's doing poorly, it's woe is me. And then she yeah. does well and it's like, I own everything. You know, it's just, there's no in between. There's no gray nuanced thing that doesn't come across as egotistical to me. And so
I honestly wonder, I'm sorry, continue.
No, I was just going to finish by saying like, I honestly think that of course the pressure of the competition is going to add to that tenfold mm-hmm. and the emotions are going to be high regardless. I would be emotional mm-hmm. for sure if my mm-hmm. art was being judged every single week on a national platform by probably your idols, right? Like I get that, but I also like it comes across as like not understanding how almost self-involved you are. And of course drag queens are self-involved, but like I don't know, this is just almost comes across as like slightly delusional to me.
Yeah, and I wonder how much of that has to do with the fact that she felt like she was going to be the main design bitch this season, and then when she found out that she's kind of like splitting that card with Nymphia, and then not for nothing, Saphira also brings a lot of bomb ass looks to the runway. Did Saphira make all of them? No, but it's. I think that she sort of like felt like there was always going to be like this one thing that was going to be hers, like solely, and that's not the case. And so when you don't have like that main thing that you're known for, then you have to kind of rely on like some of the other talents that you have. And when you're not the most talented in those backup areas, it's like, well, fuck. Like,
it's like when I went to college, like in high school, I went to a small school where I was like, the captain of both the swim and the softball teams was like the soloist clarinet. And I was also like the lead in the musicals. I was president of my class, like all those different kinds of things. And then I went to college and I wasn't any of those things anymore, you know? And you're like, oh, I'm with other people who were also all of those leadership positions in college or in high school. And you realize like, oh, yes, I'm a big deal from where I come from. But when you get put on a national platform and you're put with all the other big deals from where they're from, it can be a very humbling experience. And especially I feel like when we're looking at these Midwest queens who likely have a smaller drag scene than New York City or LA or San Francisco or Texas or whatever, like I can't help but feel like it's not that they're not talented. They of course deserve to be there and have it showcased.
Yeah.
But I think it must also be a shock to the system in that way too.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's like easier to get, well, I won't say easier to get on the show, but I feel like it's like, I feel like there's like a level of like, what's the word? Like, RuPaul is always going to cast a bunch of New York queens, a couple people from LA, Connecticut seems to be making a come up for whatever.
Just that one season.
just last year.
So it's like you can always expect those queens to be on the show because that's just like the mecca of drag. But then I feel like whenever you are like from place like Kansas City, like a Q or someplace else in the Midwest, you do sort of like have like that little edge where it's like, I'm different. I'm not from the main pack. I am like the star of where I come from. But like, yes, that might get you on the show, and that's great. And you're, of course, like you said, you're very talented. You deserve to be there just like everybody else. But I do think that there might be like a level of like, you're not churning as much as a New York queen would, because a New York queen is going to meet 12 other queens in one gig. You know what I mean? Like, and they have to constantly like be on it all the time. And I don't necessarily know if you need to be on it if you're like one of the five drag queens in Kansas City, you know? So it's like, I don't know. Like, I mean, it's not that it's impossible for people, for queens that come from those areas to win, because we've seen it in the past. It's just, I do think that there is like a certain level of catch up that queens have to play. I always remember like the beginning of season 8 where all those damn New York queens came in. They all knew each other. Thorgy and Bob were like causing a scene in the workroom like day one, and the rest of the queens are like,
and then Acid Betty's also there as far as New Yorker,
and they're like, oh, look at all the New York girls, I guess this
they're loud.
I think also part of it, so I went back and I looked at Q's track record, and Q's track record is top 2, high bottom 2, win, high, safe, win, and then low, safe, low. So like the beginning half of the season, you're essentially, you're being praised, you're getting like feedback, really positive feedback. You maybe almost won a couple of those high weeks. So you are like, I can understand almost why she has a, I don't want to call it like ego per se, but has like a little bit of that attitude, because it's like, I am good. I know I'm good. I'm being praised by the judges. I'm getting this positive feedback. So now why am I not receiving that anymore? And so that like envy, that jealousy, I think is sort of, could also be one of the motivating factors why she's feeling this a type of way when it comes to other people getting really good feedback, because she's like, well, I'm getting positive critique, so why am I not in that top spot? And I think it must only get more intense, more pressure the closer you get to the end. And I think that that just elevates every little emotion you have, becomes like 10
and also
times.
Watching Plasma go home with two wins is like, oh shit, like,
that too, yes, of course, you're just like, oh god. That's really scary. So I don't know, I think I can understand where she's, I can see why she has those types of feelings. I also think when I look at people that I want to emulate, Safira is that type of person that just has that confidence, even when she falters, like when she drank the immunity potion when she didn't need to, or has slipped a little bit, she still has this really like sense of maturity about her with the recovery and everything too. Her with playing this week, I felt also was just, again, another sign of her maturity and her emotional maturity. So yeah, I almost like wish that Sophie, like I wish Q would pick up on some of those tools that Safira is clearly utilizing that's helping her recover, because I think that that would just be, I think it would just make her happier. And I just want everyone to be happy.
No, and that's where I'm at too. It's just, it's hard for me to just like get behind somebody who I feel like comes across as a little entitled to things.
No, exactly. But that's what I'm saying, right? That's why Safira to me is the person who like I gravitate towards more.
Oh, 1,000%.
I want to be around people who have that same attitude. I want to root for people who have that attitude. It's just more endearing to me.
I would love to meet, if there's anybody who is not rooting for Safira at this point, out yourself in the comments if you're watching on YouTube, because I genuinely, not because I like want to yell at you, but because I'm genuinely curious, are there people out there that don't like Safira?
I could see it, right? Like there's someone who just is coming in and dominating. That's boring, right? Like you want the underdog. There's a reason why people root for the underdog, and it's because you want to see that fight, that person sort of come back. So,
but I think what I like about Safira even more so than like Sasha last year is that she has had moments of being vulnerable where she has quote unquote messed up in the competition, but it's the way that she's carried herself, or the way that she could say, I felt really insecure and I made mistakes and I'm going to pick myself up and I know how to do this now. Like that to me is much more endearing. And she has not been like, at least for me, like so obviously the winner of the season the way that Sasha has been, because I do feel like Plane and Q and Nymphia, Plasma at a point were putting a lot of pressure on her. And so I genuinely feel like, yes, she's dominating, but she's not like,
yeah, it's not like
it's Sasha. Not yards and miles ahead of the competition or coming across like she's impervious or anything. You know what I mean? Right. Like, right, I think that that's what makes her even more endearing to me. Like exactly what you're saying.
And I think that there's multiple competitors as well, where it just felt like kind of like, okay, maybe Anitra. Then it was like, okay, here we have, we've just named four other queens.
Yeah.
So yeah, well, actually, okay. All right. So do we have any other high level thoughts? We have a few more little nitty gritty things to talk about with this episode. Okay. No. Let's just close out Plane and Safira's speakeasy concept, because we actually never really talked about that.
All about it.
Half an hour ago.
I know, right? Okay, so just briefly, from my opinion, I felt like their performance was the best. The design was the worst. I mean, I like the concept of the speakeasy, but I felt like, except for the glory hole, it was like, okay, they're going to sing and play music, and then they just have alcohol hit all over the place, and that was kind of it. But their performance, like the actual delivery, was the best.
Yeah. I thought, I'm not sure which judge said it, but the fact that it was more on the simpler side, it's something that's easily recognizable. 1920s, obviously go for the speakeasy route. There's a lot to play with there. I think that they, I think if there was a little bit more conceptualization from the other groups, that they probably would have been closer towards the bottom, if not like just safe. But because of the fact that the other ones were in like such disarray a lot of the time, it was very easy for them to just sort of like just scoop in and take that win. I kind of loved the gag about the segregation. That was funny because I was like, we're in the 1920s. And what the hell is the third one there? So I like that they acknowledged that. So that was fun. I thought that there was like some good chemistry there. There was obviously like a little bit of like, I think that both of them were like, I can't let this other bitch upstage me. So I feel like there was like a bit of a tug, but it worked. So I really enjoyed that. And I liked the fact that they just had fun with it. It was interesting that Plane was like, I'm a little worried about Saphira because she has like such an old soul. So I don't know, like this whole speakeasy concept is a little dated, but it worked. So
It's dated, but it's also made such a comeback. Like everything in New York right now is about like going to find the speakeasy that's new or like that they've thrown back into like it used to be a speakeasy and now it is a speakeasy again. And you're like, whoa. So like it is a modern kind of concept here too, even though in theory you don't actually need a speakeasy now because there's no prohibition. You know what? I don't know if this was in the brief that we weren't provided with, but every single group, it was like they had to plan a phrase to say together. And Saphira and Plane were the two that did it the best. That seemed like it was planned to a certain extent, that they knew exactly how to, like, if they looked at each other a certain way, it just came out. And there was like one time where maybe they weren't in sync, but the other times it, like the other people would look at each other and be like, I don't know. So I felt like you have two professionals who care about the details, who also know that as much as they can steamroll, I think they're both smart enough performers because they're both hosts to know you also have to give space to other people to react, because acting is reacting. And if you don't have anything to react off of, then you end up pulling a Nymphia, right? Or a Q. Yeah. And so I think that they were smart enough to even just implicitly know that they have to give space to the other person. But like Amon said, I liked that they were like, okay, now I'm going to put an elbow in front of you. Now I'm going to put an elbow in front of you. And instead of making it seem so discombobulated, it came up across as like, you're really going to like this place. Yes, you are. You're going to like it because of this. And also because of this. And it came across like salesman-like. Yeah. And I like that. And I think they just did a great job. I love that they're also the performers that go with the bathroom, so you don't get rid of them. That's why I was saying, like, it's too bad they couldn't have made, like, Nymphia the tour guide for the Fart Museum or whatever, but for Art Museum. But I just, I don't know. I really liked the concept, the execution, the performance. I just thought that they knocked it out of the park comparatively.
Mm-hmm. Well, and got a joint win for it, so.
Yeah. It's such an interesting position for Plane to be in, because it's like, fuck, I want to win. But if I win, then it means she wins, and then she's still going to be ahead of me. So it's like.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the runways briefly. So Chain Reaction was the theme of the week. We've already touched on Morphine's bright gold look because we saw how well it worked for her in the lip sync. But I mean, Beth, this was stunning.
I'm obsessed with this. I like, she came out and I was like, never leave my screen. I love this. She looks gorgeous. This outfit is incredible. No notes.
And it's something that I didn't expect from her either, because I feel like we get so much of like the loose, easy, breezy, beautiful Florida girl shit from her. And this was like a nice contrast to that. So I loved it.
The chain wig, too. That just like, perfect choice. Amazing. Looks so heavy and uncomfortable, but amazing. She looks great. Yeah. All right. Q. Okay. So her bolero top chain look thing here. I mean, it was cool. I think it was tough for her to come after Morphine because I was so obsessed with Morphines, and especially I do have a very high expectations for Q. So I think this is gorgeous. I think it's very cool. It was just tough for her to come after Morphine for my like gut reaction to it, you know.
I agreed with Michelle. I did find that at first, like the pants, I wasn't sure what I was looking at first. I was like, wait, are those? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, those are links. Okay, I got it. Like, I got them falling from the arms, but the pants did lose a little bit of form when her legs are together. So I think it's beautifully crafted, and like once you get like once your brain is able to connect with it, it's mm-hmm. obviously beautiful craftsmanship. But I do think that like it took me a second to understand what was going on, and I yeah. don't know about the like the little the pieces wig? On the side of the hair.
I hate it.
I don't know what that is. Like, are they like dog ears? Like are you Snoopy? I don't understand what's going on.
They are dog ears. What? You know what? I don't like this look, but then I do. Like, I don't know how to describe. Like, I look at this look and I think to myself, like, if I saw someone like at an alternative club wearing something, not this dragged up, but something like this, I would think like mm-hmm. that's effing cool. Like, that's so cool. Mm-hmm. And so I think the concept is cool. She dragged it up. It's amazing. But then there's just enough question marks that are probably the point of it, right? Like, why mm-hmm. this? And we'll get you thinking, but I don't know. Like, the hair is weird, but like I don't like it. But then I'm also like, but it's so weird and different that I kind of do like it. I have it. I'm confused of how I feel about this. I want to give her all the props, but then I'm also like, there are all the props on her. So I yeah. don't know.
Yeah, literally. She hooked them all up.
All up. Linked them
all up. All right. Let's talk about Dawn. We've already again discussed this look a little bit, but Aman, you want to give your global thoughts here?
It was okay. I think that, again, like coming after Morphine and then Q, this one felt a little bit more muted, but I did sort of appreciate like the more sex appeal of it because I feel like she goes so much for the quirk, and this gave mm-hmm. me a little bit more body. It gave me va va voom. It gave me like, oh, okay, Q. Or, excuse me. Okay, Dawn. Jesus Christ.
Okay, Dawn.
I feel like RuPaul when okay. RuPaul can't remember it, any of his daughter's names. Yeah. Anyway. Michelle's
daughter's name. Which I think is what's the tea coming back? I think is they're really? Teasing that it might be.
Oh.
I think the first thing, if they do bring it back, the first thing they need to ask is, what are Michelle's daughter's names? Yeah. Have you been able to learn this over the past 4 years?
But yeah, I thought it was a good look. I think that it sort of like feels a little bit less extravagant in comparison with some of her sisters.
Mm-hmm. I like that the chain is understated, and like it is the aspect of the outfit that gives it a little flavor, but it's also not the star of the show. And that's where I kind of struggle with these prompts where I think this is a really unique outfit, and I'd like it on Dawn. I love this kind of like almost fortune teller-esque vibe to it as well, but I don't know if I would look at this outfit and go, oh, that was for the chains runway.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like the chains feel like they were added on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about Nymphia's. Whoop. So Nymphia's with the whip. Beth, I see you reacting. Give your thoughts.
I have such a crush on Nymphia for this outfit. My God. She turned around the corner and I was like, ooh. And then she had a whip and I went, ah, ha, ha. I learned things about me as I watched. No, I love that what she was able to do is say, oh, cool. I'm going to show you some Chinese chains and some Chinese knots and chain knots and that kind of thing and make it art and make it a big part of the outfit, a part of the construction. And also add this vibe of BDSM to it as well. So instead of garters that are, you know, held together with fabric, it's going to be chains. And I mm-hmm. thought this was so beautiful from head to toe, like her makeup and that hair and that color. And like, there's not a thing out of place. My God, I love this. It was so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
I completely agree. I just think the color combinations are gorgeous. It's simultaneously delicate and soft while also being like sexy and harsh at the same time. And that's a juxtaposition I think is really amazing for her to pull off.
Yeah, I thought so too. I'm not gonna lie. At first I was like, it's a little simple for her. But then when you go into the detail and the camera pans in and you can see all of the differences in all of those chains. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, here we go with this bitch with all these fucking details again. Like, so I thought it was good. I thought it was, I thought that she could have presented it a little better. It did feel a little sleepy a little bit, the way that she was walking. I was like, no, bitch, give me sex. Give me sex. So, but that's my only knock at it.
I kind of wondered when she came out, she did the first whip crack, if she was like given specific areas where she was told she could whip crack or not, because I'm sure if you get to the edge of the stage, there's got to be equipment and mics and all that kind of stuff. Because if you do watch it again, that first one she does, you can tell she's very like, is this enough space? Crack. And then she's very muted from there on out. And I think a lot of it had to do with being the judges, aware bitch. Of her just space there. But she, wow.
Yeah. Who cares? Go for it.
I think clearly after that challenge, we learned that Carson would have liked that.
Exactly. Okay. Plane is up next. And, you know, I do agree with, I think, Michelle, who said it, that we've seen this sort of look from Plane before. So it's not like this is completely unexpected. But I will say, in a season of bad breastplates, this one's fantastic.
This is so a fan. Yes. Amazing. Not the clavicle bones being on there. Yes! I was like, hold on. I was like,
yes. Oh, my God. Amon, I had the exact same reaction. I was like, what is her and what is breastplate? Like, I was like, that's amazing. It's so good. So I almost want to just like love it purely just for the breastplate.
But not only
one of those. I'm never going to wear it, but I just want to buy it.
It also, like, the little like skin area, roll area, like where the breast meets like your underarm, like that is real. That's real looking. I hate when it looks so smooth and everything. This looks flawless there. Did you guys kind of get this? I don't know if it was because I was very up in spirits while watching this. Uh-huh. Is the outfit itself supposed to look like a chain link? Like the way the body, like where the cutouts are, the legs and all that stuff, it kind of looks like it could be like a chain link or whatever.
I don't, this to me feels like an outfit that she already had that again she added chains to.
Yeah,
like, it doesn't feel like it's like, I feel like this could be like a reflection category or a metal category or something. I don't know, it just
future or something.
Yeah, like space. It doesn't feel like this feels like a little bit of an afterthought. And not to jump ahead too much, but I kind of felt the same way about Saphira's too. Don't get me wrong. I liked it. And I thought, yes, it's a little different. You know, she's giving us a little, you know, it's different for her. I get it. But I was like, chains? I don't know about that one, sis. I don't know about that
Okay. Well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about Saphira's look. Because, first of all, I saw actually the pictures of the looks before I watched the episode because I saw them on Instagram. And I was like, who the hell is this? I was so confused. I literally had to go by process of elimination and eliminate all the other. Because at first I was like, cute? No. Okay. I was like, oh, Saphira. Okay. And then obviously I had no context for what the runway category was. But so, yeah. Okay. So she's going for like a chain dog BDSM thing, Amon.
Yeah, I mean, I like the fire hydrant purse. That's funny. The little chew toy that she had was funny. The characterization, everything was funny. Like, I got what I was supposed to be looking at. I just don't know how much of that actually translated to chain reaction for me. That's kind of where I'm at with it.
All right. Well, Beth, what about you?
I think that I get chain reaction more than like from like Dawn's or from Plains for this, because you have that big thick chain around the neck. You have like the little accoutrement that have like the little cutouts. I mean, they have the chain around them, the chain on the purse there. But I would not look at this and think, oh, this was a chain runway. I would look at this and go, oh, this was the GIMP runway. Gotcha.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think that that's also why I was so confused when I saw the picture, because I was just like, I have no idea what the context is for this. But I mean, look, it was certainly creative and unique, and it stood out to me a lot for that reason. And it, I mean, I wouldn't have thought of this. So I'll just go ahead and give her credit.
Yeah.
All right. So that's Deluxe. Gone through everything. We've already talked about the lip sync. I think the last thing we have to touch on briefly is the mini challenge. If you guys have any thoughts about that, this was the Tammy Faye themed, like, I ran into Tammy Faye at the mall t-shirt. You have to make your own. Norvina, president of Anastasia Beverly Hills, was there. I don't know.
She was, she was simply there.
She was also there.
You know what? Whoever wrote those jokes for her killed it, though, because I did get a couple. I did get a couple chuckles. I appreciate
that
it.
Said too soon about Maya. I was like, you don't even know who that is.
You don't even know her. Yeah. The oh yeah, no, I think it may have been rude that they did the Jane Goodall joke, but I don't remember.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, it was with.
Yeah, with Nymphia. Well, I liked it. For me, I ran into Tammy Faye at the mall, but it seemed like the queens maybe got to pick what they're like. I ran into Nymphia at the senior center, which was hers, or it was like I ran into Q at the dentist, which I don't know. I was like, did they pick those, or were those just randomly chosen?
I think they were just randomly chosen because they did not get a choice. Those were they got a t-shirt that they put on a pit crew member.
Yeah, that was weird. I don't know.
It was weird.
Okay. I was surprised at how well the transfer worked for all of them to make.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. Right. It did look, most of them, you could see the semblance of a face. I don't really know what the objective was. Was it supposed to look as close to a face as possible? Was it supposed to make Rue laugh the most? Like, I'm not really sure what criteria was.
This is the same kind of, we never know. It's just whatever RuPaul decides he likes in the moment.
Exactly.
I will say I did laugh when Plain Jane was like, I'm pretty sure my pit crew member farted when I threw my face into a stomach. I was here for that.
Yeah, that was good. Okay. All right. Cool. Great.
Okay, well, we need to talk about one small thing.
Yes, Beth.
This was important for all the listeners. I messaged Damon and Liana about this last night when I watched the episode. I don't know who the sound designer was and who put in the music for this episode, but there were two times where the music was so different than usual. And the first was they have this kind of like guitar rock undertone when either they're talking about Safira when she's in Untucked or when she's receiving criticism on the runway. They have this kind of like, it's to the point, but it sounds like edgy, like, oh, is she not gonna win? Like, is this negative? And it's so weird, like, it doesn't match the tone of like praise that they're giving her. But the best one is that when they're announcing the bottom three, normally they do this like do 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 kind of like music in the background, but this time it was marimbas being like, and I was like, what is happening? Why is there marimba music?
I can watch.
It's so funny to me. But I was so amused by the marimbas. I watched it about five times.
It's the winner's edit. You've cracked the code.
I know. So anyway, I had to share that. So if anybody's bored and you want to go back and listen, you can pay attention to what Beth in a heightened state of awareness was really into last night.
Thought was important.
Yeah, it was so important. I was like making notes and that was the only note I made. So
no notes. Okay. Awesome. Great. Well, we got through this episode. Next week, we're going from, I assume, our top five to our top four for episode 13. We're getting a makeover of some of the dancers from Drag Race Live. So we're going to be breaking all of that down. I will not be here, but don't worry. Beth and Mon got you covered. So they'll be talking about everything from that episode. Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else? Plugs? Let's close things out. Amon, you want to go first?
Yeah, you can follow me everywhere at Amon Adwin. I am here, obviously doing Drag Race over at the rest of RHAP, doing coverage for Big Brother Canada 12. And if you want to watch me and a couple of my friends here in Philly play some video games from time to time, I have a Twitch channel with them called Forfeit Gaming. Forfeit spelled with the F-O-U-R because there's four of us. See what we did there? But other than that, I'm good.
All right, Beth, what about you?
You can follow me everywhere at AugustaWind11, and you can also follow my Twitch channel in case you want to see me flop at Overwatch, or if you want to watch me be a Poke nerd or whatever. And you can also catch me on My Weekly Meltdown in case you would like supplemental coverage to all of the beautiful stuff that you get here on RHAP about Survivor.
Perfect. And you can find me on Twitter at LianaRHAP. I podcasted about The Masked Singer. Puya and I are covering that. And then Survivor. Yeah, Mike Bloom and I are doing the B&B. This week, our guest is Kendra from last season.
Hey.
I'm very excited. I love her. I can't wait. It's going to be a blast. So definitely check that out if you're a Survivor fan. So that does it for us. If you want to leave your star ratings and reviews, you can do so on iTunes, robhasawebsite.com/dragrace. Thank you to the whole RHAP team for all of their help behind the scenes. We'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.